Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinkney to Pinkney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinkney. We are just going to do a recap today on all the things that the Benton Harbor Community Water Council and Banco have done for this community. And I do understand that, you know, that you don't appreciate it, but it's okay. You know, we're not doing this for you to applaud us. What we did was for the people and for the future of our children. Everything we do is for our children. Our fight is for our children. What we do is strictly for our children, help build a nation for them. And what I want to do, I want to lead you with some of the things that we have accomplished this year and this year alone. Let me start with the high school itself. We supplied 7 musical instruments to the high school. That's right. We have supplied 7 musical instruments to that, especially a beautiful, beautiful drum set, for the marching band, which is huge. And, you know, we're not, like I said before, we're not looking for recognition or anything like that, but we went out of our way to supply instruments to the city of Benton Harbor. We did that. We also supplied 8 water filter stations. Now, this is tremendous, and it was designed strictly to make sure that they have clean, safe water. Nobody reached out and understood how important it was for our children to have clean, safe water. So what the Benton Harbor Community Water Council did, we went out and purchased 8 water filter stations for the high school. We did that. We also supplied them with 2,000 water bottles with the Tiger logo on it. We did that because we felt that it's important that they have something and something to symbolize what they're doing more than anything else. So that's why we did it. We didn't make a big deal about it. We just did it. You know, we went out and spent our money trying to help this community. We do everything we can. Everything's about the community. And everything's about our children, you see. This is why we did it. Then we went out and got 8. We gave up 500 lunch boxes with water bottles for our children in the lower grade. We made sure that they have lunch boxes, beautiful lunch boxes, you know, designer lunch boxes. And we made sure that they had that. Which is also very, very huge. You know, we felt that that was important and to help the children as much as we can. I know that deep down in their heart, the group that left, the superintendent that just left, he wanted to help the children. I'm not sure about this next group of people who want to help the children here in Benton. I'm not sure about them because they appear to be. Now, you know, haven't came through yet, but they appear to be one who really don't really care whether they help the residents of Benton Harbor or not. That's the way it appeals. You know, they, you know, deep down inside for years, they never really want to help the residents in Benton Harbor. And Benton Harbor didn't want nobody to help them either. That's why they got in that predicament. You see, black people are the hardest people in the world to help. You see, you almost have to pin them down and force feed them in order for you to help them. That's the truth, you see. And then even then they'll find something to talk about because that slave mentality that they have has been instilled in them, this slave mentality. And this is what they do. They're not going to change, and you don't expect them to change. Like I tell them all the time, I'm not trying to win a popularity contest, not with you people, you see, because I know regardless of what you do, you always going to have something to say, you know. And whatever you say is not going to be about our children, you see. And just like I said, you know, we gave over 500 lunch boxes to the children here, plus a water bottle. We gave 7 musical instruments to the high school for the band, including a magnificent drum set. You know, and we didn't get recognized, or we didn't do it to get recognized. And we also gave them 8 water filter stations, very, very expensive water filter stations. And we did that because it was the right thing to do, you see. And that's what we did. We made sure that we are giving back to the community. You know, even bigger than that, this is just a recap of what have happened here in the city of Benton Harbor with the help of Reverend Pinkney and the Benton Harbor Community Water Council. We filed a petition in 2021 that rung around the world. It rung the bell all around the world. We filed that petition with the EPA, which is it went all the way up to Joe Biden's office to let them know that we had a major problem here in the city of Benton Harbor. The people in Benton Harbor didn't know what to do. They didn't have a clue what to do. These elected officials, they don't know what to do because they're marching orders from Whirlpool, Cornerstone Line, and Adamar. They had no clue. They didn't care. They don't care if the people inside the city of Benton Harbor die. They don't care if the people inside Benton Harbor get sick. They don't care if you come up with a lung disease. They don't care if you come up with kidney disease. They don't care if you come up with liver disease. They don't care if you come up with heart disease. They don't care if you come up with a brain disease. They just don't care. They don't care about stuff like us as black folks. Black folks don't care. So how do you expect white folks to care? And that's most of black folks. That's, you know, that's not all. But that's most of the black people. They really do not care. They don't care. They don't care about what goes inside this community. See, they have a couple of people who is designated by the news media and Whirlpool, Cornerstone Line, and Adamar to lead this community into hell. This is what this is all about. They have they select certain people, and the people falls for it because what they do, they put them on the news a lot. You know, you'll see them on the news making statements that really don't make sense if you're smart enough to understand it. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense what they're saying. You see, it may sound good, but in reality, they're putting the knife directly into your heart and your children's heart, and you just don't feel it yet. This is what they do. They got these elected officials who most people here just vote for anybody. They don't care. They don't care what they have. They don't care whether they're slaughtering their children. They just don't care. And let me say this. You know, you got 2 people on that school board right now that if the school board was for dogs, I wouldn't vote for them. This is how bad they are. But people don't care. People don't care. If they know somebody, you know, it's okay. They could be a drug addict. They could be a murderer. They could be a child, a rapist. They don't really care. Black people don't care as long as it doesn't affect them directly. They don't even know how this affects them. You see, anytime you're dealing with what's happening today and we allow it, we're just as guilty as they are. We allow people to be in an electoral position to destroy our children's future. That's where we at. Black people, history is, if it doesn't affect me directly, I personally don't care. they don't see how electing people for the school board affects their children and the future of their children. They don't see that. You see, oh, I know him. He used to live next door to me. And stupid stuff like that. If you come down here trying to hold a conversation with some of the people down here, you're going to realize some of the stupid stuff that they say. You see, thing is, this community is controlled by white folks. It's controlled by them. White folks give the orders, and they have people to carry it out. You know, we talked about Hightower being the worst mayor that we ever had. James Hightower, he's a preacher. He's going to hell, you know. And I have to say this. I can't put nobody in hell, and I can't put them in heaven, you see. But if you don't follow the Bible, you're going to hell. You don't follow it. You don't abuse people for money. And this is what black folks do. They abuse the whole community for a few dollars. So how would you expect someone to take care of your children if they don't take care of their own? How? You know, help me. Maybe I'm seeing this from a different point of view, but help me to understand that. I don't understand that, you know. I don't understand how we could get in this compromising position that we're in today. I don't get it. We'll control the city is black, but yet you have white folks controlling the city. How do that work? And what I'm doing, this is just a recap of 2022 I'm doing now. I'm just going over some of the things that have happened here, how things are, because in my lifetime, there is no rules. I'm just trying to accomplish something for the future of our children. That's it. That's all I'm trying to do. Our history was written by those who hung us, raped us, slaughtered our heroes. Given this fact, it is therefore foolish to believe that the history being taught to our children today is true, and you accept as a people that has been traumatized for over 450 years. 450 years of abuse, mistreatment, torture, hanging, raping of men and women. Even though we may look like people of no hope, God has chosen us. We're chosen. God has chosen me to carry this message. There's no way that I could do what I do without God. It's impossible. Because these devils got us surrounded. I have to circle the wagons in order to deal with what's going on today. I have to do it. There's no if and buts about it. There's no way. I can't explain. I cannot explain what is going on today. I can't. How things have fell right into place, even with the water situation. Who would believe that a black man can do all that and make white folks do what they never done before? That's what we did. We made white folks do what they never, ever done for black folks before. Never in history. Never. But then we have black folks trying to come after people who have been successful at this. That's what they do, you see. That's their M.O., you know. Black people at times could be their own enemy. But the key to dealing with black people is standing up to them. If you stand up to them, they'll run for cover, you see. All these sellouts, you know. This was a year where people understood that these sellouts got to go. You know, they got to go. What we have here in the city of Benton Harbor is a group of sellouts, and we accept them. I can't be your friend if you're a sellout. I can't. You can't even cut my hair. I was getting my hair cut free. But when I found out this guy was going to the same barbershop, I'd rather pay. I was getting my hair cut for free. See, you can't be motivated by money. You got to be motivated by what's right for our children. We have to make sure that we're doing all these things that's right. And any time you beg another man to set you free, you will never be free. You never. Why should he? If you can't force him to do it, why should a man set you free? If he's not intimidated by you, why would he set you free? That doesn't make any sense. And this has been our history. They know how to conquer and divide. They know that black folks is motivated by money. And any time that you motivated by money, you can be bought and sold. That's right. You can be bought and sold. Any time you beg another man to set you free, you will never, ever be free. That is not going to happen. That is not going to happen, no matter what. And you got to choose. Fear has two meanings. And you got to have a pencil and pen to write this down, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. Fear has two meanings. One, forget everything and run like a coward that you are. That's right. Forget everything. Everything is in the world and run like a coward that you are. Or face everything and rise to the top. You see, and you know what's so amazing about this? I'm fighting for people who don't really like me. But here's breaking news to those people: I don't care. I'm not trying to win a popularity contest. I look at this as one person I don't need to have to talk to, who won't be calling me for help. That's what I look at it as. And that's what's going on. You know, this week, this young lady called me. And, let me say this before I say that. This week, this young man called me. And I was talking about this guy, Pastor Lynch. This guy probably been raped over 20 women. I was talking about him. I put it on Facebook. And I wanted to know, why was he still preaching in the pulpit? Why would you let the devil continue to preach in the pulpit? So it's no longer a God or Jesus pulpit. Now it's the devil's pulpit. And the people that's listening to them, whether they know it or not, hell would be their home. Because what you're being led now by the devil. And remember, when Lucifer got kicked out of heaven, he took one-third of the angels with him. And they all in hell today, being tormented. He took one-third of the angels with him. And this guy preaching at Pilgrim Record. Pilgrim Record used to be one of the finest churches in the whole city. Now it's the devil's den. And you go there every Sunday and listen to the devil preach, hell is going to be your home. I don't care if your mama go there. I don't care if your wife go there. I don't care if your cousin go there. I don't care if your kids go there. Hell would be their home. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. Yeah, he wanted to know, and I had to tell him, hell is going to be their home. I hate to tell you this. It hurts me, too, because you have a chance. Every knee going to bow and every tongue going to confess. Why were you at that church listening to the devil up in the pulpit? They're going to ask that question, each and every one of them. The church used to be wealthy. Now it's broke. They're poor. And you still paying your tithes and offering to the devil. Shame on you. Hell would be your home. Well, anyway, let me get to number two before I bring in my first guest. I got to bring him in soon. This lady, I saw her at the post office. I was dealing with the post office because of their terrible service and trying to get things. I've been contacted by the postmaster. I explained to him that all the issues that we're having down here, black people always get the worst service. We got the worst police department. We got the worst elected officials. We got the worst everything. Because nobody stands up and want to fight. Because I know them. I went to school with him. He lived next door to me. That's why they're doing it to you, dummy. And this got to be one of the dumbest communities in the whole nation. But anyway, this young lady, she had a good point. She says that she raised three boys. She says she's a single parent. She said she put her boys through not only high school, but through college. And she did. I can testify to that because I know her quite well. And she said that she don't believe that a woman have to have a man to raise her boy. I said, I was very humble, very respectful. I said, well, you're absolutely right, but there's some qualities. And there's some things that you can't teach your boy that a man can, you know. And I don't want to hear women saying that they don't need their baby daddy. And I don't want to see men saying that they don't need their baby mama for them boys. Because the boys have to have that man in order for him to grow up to be a man. He might turn out to be a good man. That's something that, I would say, 5%, I'm going to give that. 5% would leap through and become this way with a single parent, having been a mother, But I just don't think that a mother can teach a boy how to be a man. And I could be wrong. If someone on the line want to comment on that, you're welcome to do so. That's just me. That don't mean I'm right. I believe that's why we're having these drive-by shootings, these kids running. I was talking to this kid earlier this week, and he told me the reason he's in the gang, because that gang is his family. I said, well, how could a gang be your family? They only like you because you do what they tell them, what they tell you to do. He said, but they're my family. I said, well, I don't know. I said, well, here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to get you connected with your daddy. And I want you and your daddy to sit down. There's issues. Work it out. And then I told this one guy, he told me that him and his son was friends. I said, you can't be a friend. You got to be a parent. You don't need your child to be your friend. You need your child to stay in the child place. You don't go out smoking and drinking with your child. You don't do that. I said, once you do that, you're putting them on the same level that you're on. I try to keep my children on a child level, and I'm the daddy, you the child, you see. And that's the way things are supposed to be. We got to understand that. We got to teach that. We got to make sure people understand that. Because, like I said, you might see things different. That's you, but we got to figure out how we're going to work together and deal with our children. On that note, I'm going to bring in my good friend, the one and only Dr. Donald Tan. But remember, no McDonald's on Mondays. None. No lottery tickets on Tuesday. None. Wednesday, no Walmart. Thursday, buy no gas. Friday, No shopping in any foreign store. No weeds, no wigs, no nails, no toes, no nothing done. On that note, let me bring in the one and only, the most famous man I know, Dr. Donald Times. Dr. Times, talk to me, Dr. Times. Tell me what's really going on, because it's obvious I don't know.
No, you covered a lot of important points. I'm going to hit some points, and I'm going to zero in. 80-year-old Mr. Ruby May said, he says, shoot, these black adults won't give a damn about the children. Otherwise, they would have gave them a whole lot of play centers after school and sports and games like we gave them. All they care about is weed, drinking, and putting money in their pocket and partying. From 89-year-old there. The other thing we're going to give credit to is Ben Harbor replacement of the lead pipe showed that the grassroots, like the Ben Harbor Community Water Council, working with the state government can make a difference when the city and local officials or government are helpless or confused about the issues. You were correct. Since you're doing a recap, I have to say this, and my Hebrew brothers wanted me to say this, and I said it. Hebrew Israelites, do it right. Don't be broke and take a wife. It's not Torah, and that's very important. The other issue that, as we're wrapping up the year, where we had to talk about the reparation issues and identifying who deserved reparations, and we came up with DOESA, D-O-E-S-A-A, D-O-E-S-A-A. And DOESA means descendants of enslaved Africans in America, And when you talk about reparations, you're talking about trying to correct the 400 years, and you can't have Negroes just cracking it up, smoking it up, weeding it up. It has to be something generational that can last at least 700 years. So the recommendations I send forward to D.C. and to others is that, one, free college education for the next 300 years for our children, two, free medical school and free law school, free pharmacy school, free architect and engineering school for the next 300 years. Next, due to slavery, free health care for all those enslaved Africans for the next 300 years. Interest-free mortgage for the next 300 years. No income tax for the next 300 years. No land or property tax for the next 300 years. Return of illegal obtained lands from the DOESA, from the descendants of enslaved Africans in America. Funding of the DOESA, in other words, the descendants of enslaved Africans sit in schools with an African pre-colonization curriculum. So not going back to African Center, but going back now, the data shows 30,000 B.C., so it has to be funding of school systems that do not foster the enslavement of Africans, but start with a minimum of 30,000 B.C., then work its way forward, because of the 300 years of enslavement and the Jim Crow, another 100 years, that's just a drop in a bucket when you compare to 30,000 years. Now, initially, I was teaching from 10,000 B.C. to present, so that's a change. Now, so we have to have schools that go back 30,000 B.C. Europe was still in the Ice Age until 6,000 B.C. Europe was in the Ice Age until 6,000 B.C. So at 10,000 B.C., Europe was in the Ice Age all the time. The pyramids were built, the schools were built, universities were built, writing was established, math and science. They were still Iceman cavemen. And now it even goes back even further than that, 30,000 B.C. So the next thing is funding of African and DOESA educational, intellectual, and scientific exchange programs. Like in the end of the first Black Panther, that it changed, that cultural exchange. We had access to the knowledge. They had access to culture and tradition. We had access to knowledge, science, and technology. They had access to culture and tradition. When we combine those two together, and we'll return to our glory as we once were, as the education and leaders of this planet. But right now, we are fragmented people. We have half the yin and half the yang separated, and so we don't know a damn thing, and that we go up against each other. So what you have to, and that when you talk about the businesses and how cities are ran, but that's kind of nationwide, the European American and will get the confused blacks, and what they'll try to do is offer black people jobs. Now, I want all the commissioners to listen to me. I want all the aldermen to listen to me. I want all the city council to listen to me. I want all the state legislators and state representatives and senators to listen to me. When you are confused and don't study history and understand, you will let somebody offer you a job. But when and your eyes are closed to that fact, because you don't look at the last 2 years of Martin Luther King when he was pushing to reestablish the black Wall Streets and black communities. So white people and confused blacks, political blacks, politician blacks, who are culturally and intellectually ignorant in terms of the world, they may have book smarts, but they're as dumb as hell when it comes to work, to common sense. They will go along with offering black people jobs. But the immigrants that are coming over right in front of your face, the immigrants that are coming over, have been coming over, they offer them businesses. So let's recap this. So whites and the set-out blacks offer black people jobs, but they offer the Arabs businesses. They offer the Pakistani businesses. They offer the Ukraine businesses. They offer the Mexican businesses. They offer them businesses so they can be independent, but they offer black people subservient jobs. So we got to get that right. You talked about the black family. What you have to understand is since the 1970s, blacks have been taught to be fools. We have been taught to be fools so we could teach our children to be fools. So that goes back to the Willie Lynch. This was something programming in place. And we have been taught to follow the black fools, and this is what has led us black backwards. The grassroots turned over it to the black middle class to fight it in the courts, but the black middle class try to take us back to the plantation. They try to reverse the civil rights, human rights movement. They wanted us to go backwards. But the churches have taught us to follow those people. The churches have taught you to follow Al Sharpton, an admitted FBI informant. The churches have taught you to follow Al Sharpton, an admitted FBI informant. Churches have taught you to follow Jesse Jackson, an admitted FBI informant. They taught you to follow Jesse Jackson, an admitted FBI informant. When Dick Gregory showed the evidence where Jesse Jackson moved Dr. Martin Luther King's hotel room from the basement to the balcony so that he would be able to be shot. You know, so that data was presented. Al Sharpton took out and set up on a sting operation to take the Johnny Cochran partner, who was just as good as Johnny Cochran, to make sure you don't have a lawyer of that caliber available. And so they try to reward him to notorious manumission. But since the 70s, blacks have been taught to be fools so we can teach our children to be fools, and we follow black fools that have led us backwards to the point men are women and women are being men. So listen to what I just said. We have went backwards to the point where men are being women and women are being men. This is by design to destroy the black family. See, 99% of educated blacks, 99% of educated blacks are house Negroes because of notorious manumission, like a merit badge. And many do it subconsciously. There's some who do it consciously because of their many years of schooling. It's training. It's taught you to be a slave. It's taught you to be like a sheepdog. But we must teach ourselves and teach our children to be unapologetically black, unapologetically African, and unshamefully pro-black. And that's where our problem is, because we don't have that. We can't identify with that. And the thing is, they got to protect the family. See, the husband is to provide and protect. The wife is to provide and nurture. And that's the natural law that's in the universe. Anything outside of that comes out of Europe, come out of Greece. That was their culture, but not our culture. So in the 1950s to the 1970s, 75% of all black households had a husband and wife. Listen to me. When you go from the 50s to the 70s, when they did a survey, 75% of all the households had a husband and a wife in the black community, but only 50% of the white households had a husband and wife. Then they instituted government programs to destroy the black families. They created complexes for women and children. And the husband had to stay in these halfway homes and only see his wife and children on the weekends because he was trying to have her live in a good house and under good conditions. So they did that. The welfare came in to give a little bit of money and food, but the condition was, again, that when they came and checked Monday through Friday, there was no man in the house or evidence of a man. And so when you think about your bridge card, your SNAP card, your Section 8 voucher, your rent voucher, your electric bill waiver and those things, that's all by design to make sure that your behind does not reproduce, because it's all in an effort to destroy the black woman and destroy the black man. Because two vaginas cannot reproduce, two penises can't reproduce, period. And so what you do is you go in and you take the weakest of the blacks and you break them, and you butt break them, you make the men into women, and then you stick a dress on them and then give them a microphone and have them go rap. Then you try to have the women put themselves down, call themselves B's and call themselves H's so that they have low self-esteem. So you have your own people trying to make you less than what you are. And you see, and the key is that they went after the black woman. So the black woman is the solution and the problem. The black woman is the solution and the problem. She is the one that has been holding the black race back. And that's because they learned that Egypt, anytime an invader came in, that once the population built back up, they would kick out the invader, because the black woman would teach the black child who the enemy was. And then that's how Egypt lasted 10,000 years. The only time they didn't bounce back was when the Arabs came. When those Persians came in, calling themselves Arabs, they wind up kidnapping, wind up marrying, and raping the African woman. And then those children that they had, the Arab-African children, which Dr. John Henry Clark called bastard children, they're the ones who instituted the Arab slave trade, which was 500 years before the European slave trade. Let me repeat that. The Arab slave trade was 500 years before the European slave trade, and they never ended. And if you look up the Global Slavery Index, you will see that the Arabs are still enslaving Africans, black people, right now going into 2023. So my uncle in Egypt says that he calls them Arab dogs. When I was in Aswan in 1987, that's what he, when he was telling me the history, that back in 68, that there was an Arab and Native Egyptian civil war, that the Native Egyptians, who were descendants from the pharaohs, went into a civil war against the Arab immigrants that came in there. The Arabs are immigrants. The Arabs are immigrants. They don't belong to the history of Egypt. They only got them placed there because the United States, France, and Britain placed them there, because they didn't want the Africans controlling their own history. So that way it's not a mystery. So Egypt is yours. Egypt is North Africa. Guess what's walking distance from Egypt? That's a part of North Africa, a place called Canaan. Let me do some explaining. Canaan is a walking distance from Egypt, from the village of Manathia, where Yeshua Mashiach, or Jesus the Christ, grew up. And that's where Pharaoh sent the people from his land back into that land when they fled to the land of Canaan. Let me do some further explaining. And then Canaan became Palestine, and from Palestine it became modern-day what we call Israel. And that's why when Herod went after Yeshua, or Jesus, he walked over into Egypt. He walked over to another part of Africa to hide amongst his cousins, until the appointed time when Herod was dead, so he could go walk right back over. So there was no planes, there was no trains. No, that's North Africa. So your holy land that you're calling Palestine, Canaan, and Israel is North Africa. Not only that, you have another holy land that they call Abu Simbel, which was also the earlier holy land before Palestine became the holy land. So even going back there, the most holy and sacred land was the land of Put, P-U-T, Put. And that's where the Queen of the South comes from. So when you think about the Queen of Sheba, then she's coming out from the Holy Land, because prior to slavery, the map used to have the South Pole was on the top and the North Pole was on the bottom. And that's actually how the world rotates, because the mountain waters come down from the Nile and empty it into the ocean. Right now, when the white people turn the map upside down, the Mercator map, water is supposed to be running backwards. But when they go out in space in NASA, they see that the world is correctly, that what we would call the South Pole is the top and the North Pole is the bottom. And when you look at the linguistically, if you look at the languages, you will see that the South Pole means front and North means back or butt or backside. So we who were the front have been now made the tail, and those who were the tail are acting like the front. And so that we got to get this right in our heads. Now, the work of Kwanzaa Kanjuku, and not only that, but Dr. Albert Poussin, not only that, Chain of Mental Slavery by Naeem Akbar and others, and also Shiraza Ali, as well as Francis Press Walsing, will tell you that there's no way in hell that a black man can teach a young girl to be a black woman. So therefore, there's no way in hell a black woman could teach a black boy how to be a man. No, no way in hell. That doesn't work. You know, there is nothing in nature where a cow is teaching her son how to be a bull. And there's no way in hell in nature where a bull is telling her girl calf how to be a cow. No. That is not in the Bible. That's not in the Torah. That's not in the Quran. That's not in the coming forth by day and night, nor is it in the Negev Kodesh. There's nowhere you find that except with the outshoot of what happened during slavery in Europe. So what's so important is that we had homes where we had lynchings and killings. So there was always some absence of the black man. The black man hasn't been really in control of the family. Even on punishment of death, African slaves married. And that's when they weren't allowed to do a church, so they had to jump a broom, and that's how they did their publicly acknowledge that they were married. And when the slave owner found out that they were married, then that's when he would break the families up. So the black family was so important to the African slave, to the black slave, that they would even be on the point of death that they would do it. And so now you have the European comes in and mess these black women's minds up with their anti-family. And so, and when you say that you don't need a man, you're anti-family, that means you've been programmed, because there's no way you actually have that child unless you slept with a man. So the thing is that you are European in your mindset, and that's because the media has taught you, the school has taught you, TV has taught you, rap has taught you. No, you're supposed to be black family, not pro-black woman, not pro-black man, but pro-black family. So that's the attack. That's the mental attack. And they're using warfare of the TV and the media, and the guys are now telling you that all the record industry is controlled by whites, and they tell them what rap they can say, what topic they can say. And they tell them that if it doesn't have enough BITs or killing stuff like that, they have to go back and write some more and add it in there. That's all designed to kill the black woman, to kill the black man, because you don't have a Jewish rapper. Hear me now. You don't have a Jewish rapper. You don't have a Jewish rapper talking about calling his woman out their name. You don't have a German rapper talking about having that woman call out her name, what they're going to do. You don't have no other race telling that race to kill that same race. You don't have no other race telling that race to kill that race except the black race, the black music. So, who owns it? European Americans, whites, whether they be in Germany, whether they be in France, whether they be in the United States or Britain, or they came from South Africa, they are controlling that. That's what we have to do. And so the men, I came from my father, I lost my father when I was a kid, but I came up because I had uncles. I came up because there were some positive black men back in the day that were positive models in my life, and that's how us young boys become men by the positive images. And right now, we got men in school systems who are undercover faggots, undercover homos, undercover deviants, in that they're deviants because you let children be children. And when you influence them to become a homosexual like you, then you are a deviant, and you are a devil, and that you are a demon. And so, yes, the school system has devils and demons in it, but because they are family members, we tolerate those devils and demons. We tolerate teachers and instructors who are devils and demons. Even if you know teachers and demons who may do drugs, may do alcohol, may be homosexual, may be bisexual, may be trisexual, try anything. And we, because we look like our stepfather, because we look like our stepfather, who is Satan, the devil, and Lucifer, we tolerate those things. Because if we were actually Christian, if we were actually Hebrew, if we were actually Muslim, then we would not let evil be in our presence according to Scripture. And we would rebuke that and call that out. But church Christians are quiet because they don't follow the God Yah or Yahweh or Yahshua. They follow the God Lucifer. They follow the one, the fallen one. That's who they follow. And that's why you can sit into a church and hear from a devil or a demon, because you know that devil and demon is a whole like you, is a whole light like you. You know that you're not right. You know that you've been looking stuff. You know that you stole. You may have signed checks and forged names. You may have lied. You may have backstabbed. And you know to see somebody up there in the pulpit looking like you make you comfortable. So that's why in the churches, the devils and demons are comfortable when the devil or demon is in the pulpit. So that's what you have. And then when someone who comes in speaking the truth, that's when the people become uncomfortable. No pastor can be doing strong, hard drink. No pastor can be doing strong, hard drink. He becomes a falsified pastor. He's not a real pastor, because the Scripture is clear in Titus and Timothy on what a real pastor is. And we don't have real pastors, because a real pastor would not be doing fornication. A real pastor would not be doing adultery. A real pastor can't even step in the pulpit unless they have a wife. So we're not following Scripture. We're not following God. We're playing God, we're playing church, but we're not doing church. So, again, the strong, positive black men will help you be a black man. Strong, positive black women will help a young girl become a woman. And that's what the attack is. The attack is to destroy the black family. The attack is to destroy black family. Anytime you hear a woman that talks against the black family, against the black man, then she's a nigga that's out of her mind. And that she is the enemy. When you hear a black man that goes up against a black woman and talks against a black woman, that's a nigga that's out of his mind and against the black family. So we have them out there where they wear suits, and sometimes they have gold chains and microphones. But a nigga is a nigga, and that's what we have to call out. We have to start calling out evil. Christ called out evil. Allah, the Messenger, said to Prophet Muhammad, and he called out evil. But we know that the Arabs, the Persians, are false believers. They're not truly Islamic. No, most Arabs are what my uncle calls Arab dogs, because they're Arab dogs. If you mistreat the descendants of Bilal, if you mistreat the descendants of Bilal, you are not Muslim. You do not love the Prophet Muhammad. Not only that, but if you really want to be tight, look up the word black in Arabic. Look up the word black in Arabic. And then when you go and look at the descriptions of the prophet, see what that word is, how they describe him. See what that word is and how they describe the prophet. Not only that, but he was also described like Bilal. Not only that, remember when the prophet was running to Ethiopia. Ethiopia means bird skin. He was running to Ethiopia, also called Abyssinia by the Arabs, which is no doubt in Africa, which is also in the book of Genesis, chapter 2 and verse 13, and where the Garden of Eden is supposed to be, between Nubia and Ethiopia, the verses 2:11 and 2:13 in the book of Genesis, that here you have Bilal running with Muhammad to Muhammad's uncle in Ethiopia. That's what's taught. Muhammad, for the Haggadah, was running to Ethiopia. That's where he was running. So what you have to do now is look at what our faith system. We have to look at the Hebrew faith. The Hebrew faith says that in the Geneva Bible, in the Wycliffe Bible, and the Tyndale Bible, which were the early editions of the Bible, the King James Version was verse 16, version 16 of the Bible, and in that portion of the Bible, what wind up happening is that King James scholars said there was a redundancy that they took out. And the redundancy says that his skin was like the soot of a chimney. His skin was like the soot of a chimney. His skin was like the soot of a chimney. And they said that's redundant because burnt bronze, there was no such thing as brass. These new niggas who've drawn Bibles are changing the bronze into brass. Brass wasn't invented until the 1600s. They never saw bronze back then. I mean, they never saw brass back then. It was only the Bronze Age. It was never a brass age. So, you know, it was take off the BR, and you talk about an ASS. That's who put that in there. There is no such thing as brass. And anyone who says burnt brass shows that you're ignorant, that you don't have it, that the Bible that you're using has been changed and not using the original words. And you need to make sure that when you start reading your Bible, start going back to the original words. So it was burnt bronze, like the old burnt penny, the dark penny. So burnt is burnt. And they said that everybody back then had a blacksmith on every corner, so everybody knew anytime you burnt toast what it looked like. When you burnt something, what was it like? So they said that the soot of a chimney's coat was the same thing as being burnt or burnt bronze. That his feet was burnt bronze, it was saying the same thing. But in this day and time, we needed that, but they took that part out. But they didn't take the part out about the texture of the hair. But because we're so messed up brainwash-wise, what wind up happening, we focus on the white of the hair, meaning that he's old and wise because we've been messed up. And then the next part of that is that the hair texture is wool. Eyes are anger like red. And when he comes back, no, he is not coming back loving. He is not coming back with prosperity. When the Christ comes back, the Messiah comes back, he comes for one reason and one reason only, to kick ASS and to kill everything that's on this planet, to kill everything that's on this planet. He's killing everything on this planet because everything on that planet, is when he comes back, is evil. Because we already know that he already took his elect in Thessalonians. He lifted them up. He changed them in the twinkling of eyes, and he called them up yonder into the holy city of the New Jerusalem. So they are not even on the planet. So the only thing that's on this planet is the people who have left them, as Reverend Verry said, in these churches who are following these false prophets and false pastors and these antichrists, those who are going to be left on this planet, and the devils and demons on this planet. And when Christ comes, his sole purpose is to destroy all life on planet Earth. And then Revelation 21 will come. Then he will make a new heaven and new earth once he destroys all evil on this planet. And so very few people that we know will be around after that time. Because, the thing is, there's no such thing as once saved, always saved. Because once you're really, truly saved, and Pastor Verry taught you this, then that Holy Spirit would condemn you so you wouldn't make that sin again. So, therefore, if you repeat the sin, then you are not saved. If you repeat the sin, you are not saved. Because once saved, always saved, and only for those where the Holy Spirit got dwelled in. When Paul got saved, he didn't revert. When Peter got saved, he didn't revert. When John got saved, he didn't revert. Mary Magdalene, when she got saved, she didn't revert. Mary, mother of Jesus, when she got saved, she never reverted. So when you're going in and out and making mistakes again, doing sin, your butt is not getting in. Your butt is not getting in heaven. That's scripturally based. That's scripturally based. And I'm going to say this too. Here's a test I would like to do, Reverend. I want everybody to listen to my voice right now. I'm going to do a test. Everybody listen to me right now. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to imagine an apple. Close your eyes and imagine an apple. Close your eyes and imagine an apple. And hopefully you can see that apple. Now I want you to keep your eyes closed. I want you to see an orange. Keep your eyes closed. I want you to see an orange. keep an eye closed to see it. Now what I want you to do is either look at the car that you drive. I want you to see the car you drive or the car that somebody drove you in. I want you to see that car. I want you to see that car. Hopefully you can see that car. Can you see the car, Reverend? Can you see it? Now what I want to say is Jesus. Jesus. Now what happened when I said that name? Some white dude jumped up in your mind. Some of you had to saw a white guy that you had to clean it out and put a black guy in there. So that's the brainwashing and the condition that we have. And that's what we have to remove out of ourselves. We have to start loving ourselves. We have to start becoming unapologetically black. We have to become unapologetically African and unshamefully pro-black. We have to become unapologetically black, unapologetically African, and unshamefully pro-black. Unapologetically black, unapologetically African, and unshamefully pro-black. Then we can get our land back. Then we can get our history back. But until we gather our correct history, we'll be a mystery to ourselves and to our children, and that's why our children are being led astray, because Satan is leading this day. We're not the 1950s where we taught black history and pulled ourselves together. We're not the 1920s where we taught black history and pulled ourselves together, because that's what Marcus Garvey did. That's what the Honorable Muhammad did. That's what Malcolm X did. That's what Martin Luther King did. Martin Luther King said, yes, I'm black and I'm proud. Yes, I'm black and I'm beautiful. But we don't want to deal with the last 2 years of his life. So we have to look at Travis Smiley's book, you know, What Matters, so that we understand the last 2 years of Martin Luther King's life. So this is what we have to do to start getting right. And we have to start becoming husband and wife. We have to start becoming husband and wife. We have to start becoming husband and wife. We have to stop being baby daddies and baby mamas. We have to stop being baby daddies and baby mamas.
Amen. Amen. Amen, Doc. That was some good teaching, my brother. And the people need it, you know, because they have to understand, you know, this is 2023 coming up. We have to change the way we do business. And we got to make sure we're doing what's right, not just for ourselves, but for the future of our children. Everything is geared towards the future, but we got to have the information. We got to be re-educated because the schools have failed us, most of them. You know? They have failed us, and they're doing it purposely because people are getting money that should not be getting money, and they're getting money to keep us young and dumb. If they can. And that's the whole thing.
Wait. Something very, very important, Rev. Something important.
Yeah.
You, now, the thing about it is that everybody's going to have to embrace what's called DOSA, D-O-E-S-A-A.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is that, because you point this out, what they are trying to do with the new legislation coming up and the new reparations for 2024, the 2024 reparations, they're going to try to be slick like they did for the Civil Rights Bill. For the Civil Rights Bill, the only people that died for it was the black people. The only people that died for the Civil Rights Bill were the black people. Early on, you had a few whites who died for the right to vote, but not for the civil rights. You had a few whites that died for the vote, but not civil rights, because the whites who were trying to help people get registered to vote when Martin Luther King went to visit them in Cicero in Chicago, those same whites were spitting at them and harassing them, who that King had thought was his friends. But they were saying, not in my house, not in my neighborhood. And what's getting ready to happen is they want to take this reparations and try to make it money and sort of disappear real quick and be spent up and not pay the 400-year debt. And so the 400-year debt is that it was illegal for us to be educated. It was a capital offense. If you got educated or could read or write, you could be killed for that. So we have to have at least 300 to 400 years of free education. Quality education all the way up to high school, all the way to college, all the way to medical school, engineering school, architect school, pharmacy school, law school. We need to be able to have pre-education. So that's mandatory. We were not paid for our labor for over 40 years, so we should not be paying income tax, city tax, county tax. We should not be paying federal income tax because we were worked and never paid or compensated, and our land was taken. So we have to make sure our reparations there. But they want to add, they want to try to be slick. They added to the Civil Rights Bill, they added people who didn't fight. The black people died, they added American Indians. And American Indians were also slaveholders and bounty hunters working for the white people, and they worked with the South They were against the ending of slavery. So they were with the South versus against the North. So they added American Indians on there. They added mainland Puerto Ricans who did not fight but were not involved. They added them in there. And then they added people who were in the crowd trying to throw rocks at the little girls trying to go to school, trying to protest Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks. They added white women to the Civil Rights Bill. So the minorities, the Civil Rights Bill created a new term, minority, which made white women minorities. And when you go to the U.S. Labor and Statistics, you'll find that 85% of minority businesses are owned by white women. White women who are prejudiced, white women who are your parents, those are the people who own minority businesses right now, 85%. And now they're trying, if you marry a white girl or Hispanic, then you qualify as a minority business. If you call yourself a mainland Puerto Rican and they added Mexican in there, then you are considered a minority. And so now what they want to do for reparations is they're going to try to slide in to try to add these other groups, immigrant groups, who had nothing to do with the being enslaved. And our African brothers and sisters who were colonized, but they were colonized. Colonization means slavery in your own home, so you can't be sticking your chest out and thinking you're better than black people when they enslaved you in your own home, sold your own furniture of gold, oil, diamonds, cadmium, so you're no better than us, so you can't be fighting against us because you are us. So we got to get the European out of the African mind, especially the Nigerian mind, because they're supposed to be the whitest Africans that you can find. The most British Africans that you can find is going to be your Nigerian, is what they're saying. So we have to make sure we embrace Dosa, because no one else can use that title of descendants of enslaved Africans in America. Nobody, whether they're from Africa, from the Caribbeans, from the Bahamas, whatever have you, that is unique to us.
All right, Doc.
And that's unique to the
Hebrew Israelites. You're going to talk to us out of time, so... But look, we got good news tomorrow. Tomorrow at 1 o'clock we will be on, and I just want to close by saying this. You got to love life enough to struggle for progress. Our children's future depends on it. Let me say it again. You got to love life enough to struggle for progress. Our children's future depends on it. On that note, tomorrow, 1 o'clock, same station, call in. Have a good day.